Thank you all. Well, good morning.
I know that I've already said this, but it is truly such a joy for me to get to be with all of you this morning. Not just the generic sort of we together as a church community, but like me specifically in this very place with all of you here. It's a great excitement. I'm really thrilled to get to be here. And I hope that the Lord does a great work in us, as is already occurring, and I'm excited for what has yet to come. So before we begin, let's say a prayer to the Lord. Gracious God, we know that you are present with us. We trust that in every believer, you are close to our hearts. We ask that as you are making us, as you are remaking us, as you are shaping us, allow us to be ready to hear the prompting of your Spirit, the words found in your text, so that we might be made new in the image of your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. So as a freshman in college, which was not tremendously long ago, but also not exactly yesterday, I was taking a Spanish class that was called Advanced Elementary Spanish. This was the class for students who previously had had Spanish language experience, but maybe weren't quite ready for Spanish 2, which I never did quite make it to, by the way. But one of the policies of the department was that you needed to attend a certain number of cultural and language experiences before you could receive your class credit. And the most straightforward way to do this was to go to a Wednesday night devotional that was held all in Spanish. It was organized by several native Spanish language speakers and a few of the upper level sort of Spanish students. There would be prayers and songs and scripture readings and devotionals all in Spanish. The beginning of the semester was always funnier because you could hear that we had a lot of new people to the Spanish language because of the accent. And unfortunately, we're going to replicate that again today. But something I really drew from my time there was the songs, because they're easier to remember. Oftentimes, there are English songs translated into Spanish, and sometimes the other way around. So I retained that a lot more readily. And this song that I learned, specifically, that we're going to talk about today, takes its lyrics from John 13. But I didn't know that the song was an English song until much later. I learned it first as a Spanish song, even though it was written to be an English song. So, for all of you Spanish speakers listening to this, I would like to apologize before we start. But here are the lyrics to this song. Somos uno en espíritu, somos uno en el Señor, y rogamos que un día se complete la unión, que somos cristianos lo sabrán porque unidos estamos en amor. The song in English is one that we're going to sing after we do this together. But in English it reads, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they will know that we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know that we are Christians by our love. So it is in this spirit that we look to our text today. I wanted us to talk about this body, the church, our unitedness in Christ, and our work of love as Christ messengers in the world. We are going to be reading out of Romans 12, 4 through 10, if you want to follow along. But before we get too far into our text, I know that I just led you into that, I wanted to briefly talk about the wording found here about the body of Christ. Sometimes in the Bible, when it says the body of Christ, it is talking about the physical, human, real body of Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, died on a cross, resurrected on the third day. But sometimes in the New Testament, when we see the phrase body of Christ, this happens especially in the letters, it is talking about the church and every believer who chooses to commit to Christ. The second idea is what we will be focusing on today. What it means for those who believe in Jesus to become his representation here on earth to one another and also to those who do not yet believe. So when you hear body of Christ today in this lesson, think of the church. Now, let's read our text. I will be reading from the Common English Bible. Romans chapter 12, 4 through 10. We have many parts in one body, But the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ. And individually, we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. The leader should lead with passion. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil. Hold on to what is good. Love each other like members of one family. Be the best at showing honor to one another. So the center of this text follows a path of sort of three major stepping stones. Diversity is necessary and essential for the church. Christ is the one who unites us. And love allows us to live in community. The author of this book, which in this case is Paul, starts by reminding us that there is great diversity in the body of Christ. This image of the body having many members or parts, but even those of us not in medical professions know that our fingers are different from our ears, our veins different from our elbows. What we should hear is that to expect a church to contain only people of the same type is incorrect and incomplete. Whether these similarities that they share are economic, cultural, racial, age, category, theological, or even gender, we should anticipate different people with different perspectives. These differences make up a well-rounded body of believers. In fact, our differences make us better for the work of the kingdom. Therefore, we need to desire a church with a variety of backgrounds and contexts, not resist it, even when the reality might be more difficult or complicated. It is always easier, of course, to have a church filled with the same sorts of people, especially if those people look and think like us. There's less internal conflict, and we're more comfortable with contexts that we're familiar with. But a church made of one type of person is not the body of Christ, according to the scriptures. And it is a church that desires uniformity, not unity. True unity requires unique individuals to come together under one goal and purpose without abandoning their distinctiveness. In this case, united under the identity of those saved by Christ, committed to love as a way of life. The next section talks about how we, like body parts, make up parts of a whole, a representation of Christ in the world. Because we are made into one body, we are now not just a portion individually held, but one of a whole, meaning that we can no longer deceive ourselves into thinking that we live or act independently. Our individual freedoms, desires, plans, our time, and all of our passions are submitted to the plan and work of God. We gave that up when we said yes to Jesus. The idea that we are members of one another, as the text says, or that we belong to one another, is kind of a tricky one. What does it mean to be part of one another? Well, I think we can see this as a reminder that although we exist as individual people, our unity in Christ makes us accountable to, though not responsible for, one another. This means that what you do, or what you fail to do, concerns me, and what I do, or fail to do, concerns you. Now, this is not a blank check to be up in everybody's business, but it is a reminder of our interconnectedness and the way that what we do always affects other people. We can also see this as an opportunity, an encouragement to lean on one another. As a community, We are all connected and related internally. And because of that, we have to depend on one another to live our lives well. This means encouraging and supporting one another, and also reaching out for encouragement and support when we need it. It includes the difficult task of reminding each other of the kinds of people that we want to be, even if we aren't there yet. And it means accountability in great love when it becomes necessary. Lastly, we should hear this as the author's idea that no one person is a body, or even the whole of one soul part, but rather each of us makes contributions, as best we are designed, to compose a whole body, the body of Christ. So how can this even be accomplished? How can I be a part of a body with believers in many places and nations whose names and lives I don't know? How can even in this church, in this place, be united to serve as one body when we are so different from each other? Well, the text tells us that we are one body in Christ, and that Christ is our binding agent, the one who unites us and holds us together as one cohesive unit. As the author begins to talk about the examples of gifting in the church that the church members might possess or be given, they remind us that God's gifting and grace shows up differently in different people, which is something that you would expect. But that means various responsibilities, and that each gift is important, as each person is important. This simply means that by God's design in creating individuals, we each have gifts that come from our skills, our backgrounds, our personalities, and most crucially, the work of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit within each of us. And that Spirit works not just alongside the things that we are most naturally gifted for, but also past them. None of these gifts is more important or more valuable or for someone who is more elite or more publicly known. In fact, God's gifts don't discriminate between those with social power and loud voices or those who might be socially outside or hesitant to speak at all, but only according to God's work within each person. The main purpose of this section of the text is that whatever you have been given to do, by skill, by gifting, by the Spirit and presence of God, do it. And the gifts given might not just be the ones that are named in this text, though I think it's obvious that they're present in this congregation. It includes, if your gifting is remembering people's birthdays, then you should send out cards according to that gift. If your gift is hosting people in your house, you should have an open door according to that gift. If your gift is physical labor, let's say getting a couch through the back door of the new pastor's house when they move in, you should do that according to your gift. If your gift is gardening and out of your abundance you share generously, you should do that according to your gift. If your gift is installing toilets or cleaning windows, do so according to your gift. Maybe you aren't gifted with a strong desire to pray publicly or a large church ministry, but each of us has talents, abilities, and passions that make up our best directions to do the will and work of God in the body of Christ. Determining your gifts and the leading of the Spirit might also mean that sometimes we're gifted in more than one thing. And it's important for the health of a church for us to ask God not just, what could I do or what can I do, but what is mine to do? It's so important for us to remember that when we chose Christ, we were not committing ourselves to the ghost of Christ, the idea of Christ, the mirror image of Christ, a part of Christ, or even the dead body of Christ, but the full, real, living body of Christ. And that we as the church are the continuing body of Christ here on earth. We've committed ourselves to something real, something physical, something meaningful, something with a purpose. That commitment carries over to our everyday lives and the work that we do together to show God's love and that good news to everyone in the world. The last section of our text shifts gears somewhat into reminders for the body, a more instructive period, perhaps. Love is the central motivator and starter for the body of Christ and the formation of the church. Without love, there is no created order, no garden where God walks with man, no covenant in the Hebrew Bible, no Christ as God in human flesh. Because of love, because of a God who wanted so much to be with creation that they chose flesh and bones and sinew to come and be a part, because of all of those things, we can choose love as a binding element to this body. The blood which makes a dead man live, the ligaments which tie our muscles to our bones, these are the things that unite us. Christ the risen Lord, and because of Christ, love the path of righteousness. In our short time together, it seems very clear to me that there is growing comfort and awareness of the necessity and reality of a diverse church. This congregation knows the uniting power of Christ, and this church knows that love is the way forward and demonstrates it in the lives of one another. So as we now together grow in these things, my encouragement is this. Let's do what the text tells us. In the NRSV, the last section reads, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." These are certainly lofty goals, but they are attainable through the Spirit given to us and through the cleansing work of Christ. To love what is genuine means resisting untruth in every form it comes in. To deny gossip a place in your life, to value honesty and vulnerability in relationships. To hate what is evil is to call out unfair actions against communities that are marginalized, to have a growing awareness of our own sin and to ask God to purify us. To hold fast to what is good means to value and focus on things that are beautiful and good, a morning cup of coffee or a phone call from a friend. To grow in gratitude means to see the best in others, even when it's difficult, and then to tell them when we see it. In order to love one another, we should ashamedly, sacrificially, and openly love one another with our words, our action, and our time. It means forgetting our own insecurities about whether that love will be returned or our tendencies to hoard our time, love, and energy just in case we need it. We have to let that go. To outdo one another in showing honor is to constantly look for how we can lift each other up, giving each other the benefit by assuming best intentions instead of worst, even if they've proved you wrong before. To speak kindly of others when they aren't around, to notice small efforts and praise them as if those efforts change the world, because they do. So this week, I invite you to join me in choosing something either from this list or something like it, and to practice. Let us ask God to make it real in our lives. Maybe you will choose hating what is evil and spend your time in prayer, asking God to root out the sin in your life. Maybe you will choose loving what is genuine and use this week to open up to a fellow believer about what's really going on in your heart and in your life. Maybe you will outdo others in honor by spending time praising someone without their knowledge. In these ways, we do as the body should do, using our skills and gifts to serve a unified Christian body in love. As a part of the greater body of Christ, we work towards love, united in Christ.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.